So I don't think we have a lot of kids this morning, but if you have young children with you that you'd like to send out with Abigail as she runs out the back door, they're going to be meeting in the fellowship hall today, and for the rest of this month they'll be meeting in the fellowship hall to help them prepare for the joint worship that we're going to do at the end of this month. So that's kind of exciting. Morning, everyone. It's been a long week, but a good one. So we're coming to the end of the book of James. We're not going to do like we've done in Bible class and pull a gotcha and continue with James after we finish. But let's think about some of the things that we've seen from the book of James, specifically the last few weeks, because it's going to help us put today's reading and today's lesson in context a little bit. So we read from James 5 today. Sorry, we're in Thessalonians for the retreat that I was at. We read from James 5 today, and 5:1 says, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you." Verse 7 says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." Be patient then, brothers. So there's something that's come before that. The warning to the rich. The boasting and self-sufficiency that we see just before the warning to the rich. And also the judging of others that we talked about 2 weeks ago. Those are three things that tend to draw our focus. Now, today, we want to shift that focus and see, how do we get past those things? How do we take things that make us stumble and combat them? How do we overcome those hurdles? So this is, the book of James is a discussion about temptation, and it's telling us also how we can overcome those trials and temptations. I'm hoping that we've gotten that so far, and I'm hoping that in the next couple of weeks it will solidify those things for us. So how do we overcome our tendency to judge others? How do we overcome our tendency to rely on ourselves to do things? How do we overcome the desire and the fear that causes us to amass wealth? Whether that's a small amount of wealth or a large amount, it's the desire that's the problem. So how do we overcome those things? There's two things, and I say this and Michael's going to glare at me in a second. It takes me back to being in Albania and watching Agent Oso with the kids as they're growing up. It's only two steps, but Agent Oso is three special steps. I see some of the college kids going, "Oh, man, no." Two steps. And the first one is right here. Be patient. That's easy, right? I mean, patient. We pray for that sometimes. We ask for that. Endure. Keep your eyes focused upon the return of the Lord. That's where our focus is supposed to be. It's supposed to be on Christ's coming. He promised that he was going to prepare a place for us. He promised that he's coming back. And so the first step in overcoming anything that draws us away from him is to focus ourselves on that fact. He's coming. And to focus like the early church did. The early church believed tomorrow, today, 5 minutes from now, they believed it was immediate. Do you believe that Christ's coming is immediate? Do you believe that he's coming soon? I submit that we should be living that way. Whether we feel that way or not, we need to figure out how to look at Scripture and see in Scriptures, in the writings of the early church fathers, how they truly believed it was imminent. And now it's been 2,000 years. We have to find a way. Just like we find a way to attempt to worship in ways that are similar to how the early church worshiped. We have to find a way to have the same kind of zeal for Christ and his coming that they had. Temptations and trials are horrible. Yes? They're difficult to overcome. They come in many shapes and sizes, one to fit each and every one of us. If only it was just one, that would be amazing. But we all know that there's more than one that fits each of us. Some of them fit multiple people. So how do we overcome this? How do we get this patience? And what is patience? You're not going to love the biblical definition of patience. Who knows already what that definition is? Long-suffering, yeah. When we were in Albania, we did a vacation Bible school, and it was all prepared by people who came from the States, and it was amazing, and it was an Olympic year, and so their whole thing was about endurance. Well, in Albanian and in Scripture, endurance and perseverance are essentially the same word. And so I had three words that I could choose from to translate endurance. And all three of the words had the same idea carried with them of some kind of difficulty and hardship. And we're doing that for kids. But think about it. If Christ's promise is true, what is suffering here? If Christ's promise is true, and we're waiting for the resurrection, we're waiting for his return, anything that we go through here, any difficulties, are so small compared to that reward. So focus yourselves on his coming. We're called to be patient like a farmer. I wanted to take pictures, I didn't get a chance to, of our garden in the backyard. Because, boy, how many of us do you have small garden patches? I know Brad and Margaret do for sure. Anybody else small garden patches? Okay. How many of you plant too closely together? It's okay to admit it. It's okay to admit it. We have small yards. I look at our backyard, and we've got a fairly small backyard, but we've got a section of it that is a garden. Every year, I fight against Allison's favorite thing, which is honeysuckle. And if you haven't planted honeysuckle in your yard before, don't. We also have bindweed, creeping Charlie, our grass, all of these things that I fight against. And I'll tell you, if I had pictures to put up, you'd see that we're losing this year. But the farmer who does this for a living, or who does this to feed his family, doesn't go about it the same way that we do in our backyards. That is his life. He's there every day. He's focused on each of those plants individually. He knows what they need. He knows the difference between that squash that's coming up and the weed that's growing next to it. And he takes care of it. Every day he's out there caring for that garden, caring for that food that is going to be for his family. Are we patient like that? It's not easy to do that. I know when we were in Albania, we started a ministry. And we started this ministry in 2009, 2010. It was a blind ministry. The two pictures on the right-hand side there are a husband and wife who started with us at the first meeting of that ministry and who were baptized this past summer. That's a farmer, and Albert there in the red shorts and white shirt on the right is, he's the farmer. He's the Albanian minister that we worked with. He continues with that ministry. The other side, his oldest daughter, Hosanna, was baptized this summer also. So here's a farmer who is in his field and who is focused on the plants that others have planted, and he's now taking care of. So as we prepare ourselves to be full of patience and endurance, we have to have things that can strengthen our hearts. And I'll tell you, when I look at this, when I see Dean, when I see others who have been baptized this year or recently, that strengthens my heart. That encourages me. And that, my friends, my brothers and sisters, is our field to tend to. It's our field to see sin creeping in on someone, to see temptation creeping in on someone, and to help them. To help them weed those things out. As we do that, it's going to be encouraging to the people that we're helping and to ourselves as we watch them grow and get stronger in Christ. Now, as we're strengthening our hearts, one of the things that goes with that is not grumbling. All these easy things today. Isn't that wonderful? How do we keep from grumbling? How do we keep from falling into verse 9? Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So what does that look like? What does it look like to grumble against a brother or sister in Christ? Well, it's not just being grumpy. It's not just being upset about something. It goes back to, similar to judging others, talking about these issues with other people, not going to the source. When we have difficulties, when we have stress between ourselves and a brother or sister in Christ, we owe it to ourselves, to them, and to God to go to them directly and to have those hard conversations. I'm going to keep saying that because I truly believe it, and I truly believe that the more we are able to do that, the closer we're going to be as a family. And I'm not saying that we have a lot of that that needs to happen, but as we see it in our own lives, we need to act on it. So, believers are to occupy ourselves and be busy in serving the Lord until he comes. Are there things that we can be doing here at Southside, either in the building, around the building, for the community? Are there food pantries that we can volunteer at? Are there things that we can do as groups or individuals to encourage people here and in the community? There are. Are you willing to do those things? Are you willing to take time to get to know the college students and figure out what schedules are like and see if there are times that you can encourage them outside of just our worship service? Are there times that you have for Michael or for Jeremiah and Eli outside of worship, times that you can find them and encourage them and bring them along as they grow in their knowledge of Christ? Times that you can pick Lee up and bring her here for ladies' class or give her a ride home. There's so many people that we can serve in so many different ways. We just need to find those ways, and we need to grab onto them. We need to do them because our hands need to be busy. We need to be working for God. And it's easy for me to say, I know. But it's not always easy for me to say. Because life encroaches on me too. And just like you, I have things away from Southside. But those things that are away from Southside can do one of two things, just like Southside can do things. It can draw me closer to God, or it can draw me further away from Him. So our outside activities and our activities as a family should always be drawing us closer together and drawing us closer to God. Be patient, endure all the temptations and trials of life, no matter how strong and terrible their onslaught may be. Patiently combat their enslaving power and the spirit of discouragement and defeat that can sweep over our souls. Anybody feel that way sometimes? I think that for me, it comes in sweeping waves. And it's just like sitting and watching the ocean. You can see it as the tide comes in, the waves get higher and higher, and then they slowly recede. But as the tide goes out, you can still see the high tide mark on the sand. You can see where those worries and concerns were. Look around at your brothers and sisters. Help to see where their high tide marks are, and help them to overcome those difficulties. The Lord is coming. We conquer temptations and trials as a family, and by putting our trust solely and firmly in Christ and His promise, I am coming. I have gone to prepare a place, but I am coming for you. Now, hopefully you've gotten the idea that spiritual patience is not passive. We can't just sit back and pray and say, okay, God, I want my patience to grow. We then have to be active. We have to be fighting for that patience. And to do that, we need to remember that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That patience is a fruit of the Spirit. If you're not praying for those gifts, those fruit, to be evident in your life, to grow and to produce, please start. Galatians 5, 22 to 23, that's where it is. If you want to pray for the fruit of the Spirit, if you want to incorporate that into your prayer life, that's a good place to start. And I encourage you, if you're not doing that now, to do it. Now, the farmers, they establish their farms. They care for their farms. And when we do that as Christians, it looks a little bit different. It may look like one of the favorite phrases of short-term missionaries, don't grow weary in doing good. Always meant as an encouragement. It's an encouragement for us too. We can look around and we can see Deanna's looking at everything that needs to happen for the giveaway and knowing that it all is going to happen before next Friday night. She's thinking about what's in the basement right now, and I'm giving her anxiety by doing this. But she knows that God's power is going to work through her hands and the hands of the volunteers who are going to help her and Jetty to do his good work. She's going to be patient with many people throughout the week. Hopefully she will be patient with herself as well. But this is one of those things where we are tending a field. We're going to have an opportunity next Saturday to have 50 to 100 people or more come through our doors. How are you, as a part of this body, going to help with that? How are you, as a part of this body, going to try to connect someone from that group, whether you're there physically or not? How are you going to connect someone from that group of people that comes through our doors next Saturday to this body? How are you going to allow them to feel the love that is here on a Sunday morning? Pray about it. Think about it this week, because that is a huge opportunity for us. How are you, as a member of this body, going to, through the Fall Fest that'll be the next Saturday, connect someone who comes with kids so that the kids can get candy, because that's what every kid wants? How are you going to connect them to us to encourage them to come back? Because anything that we do is good. But if it doesn't connect people to us, is it valuable? I'm not saying that anything that we're doing isn't valuable, but I'm saying that there is greater value that can come if we will engage ourselves as members of this body in those things that are planned. Now the grumbling. Grumbling? I mean, Job did it. Job was like, hey, this is horrible, God. I don't know how I can overcome this. And yet, his complaints, his cries to God, were for deliverance. They were for the ability to overcome the suffering that he was experiencing. So, when we feel overwhelmed, boy, I'm talking to myself right now. Anybody see me this morning before worship? I scared Tony. We got here at about 8:30. I gave Michael my keys so that he could unlock the door, because Stacy had probably been, I don't know, I didn't even ask how long you'd been waiting, Stacy. I'm guessing like half an hour. Maybe more? No? Oh, good. I gave Michael my keys to unlock. I came into the auditorium quickly as I was turning on lights, went to the back, turned on the computer, turned on the speakers so that I could check and make sure that the sound was right on the videos, and forgot completely that I had given my keys to Michael. Spent 15 to 20 minutes doing other things and looking for my keys at the same time, in a horrible state of mind. Frustrated, grumpy look on my face, running around. Should have taken my own advice. That was suffering. That was something that other people could have helped me with. We need to rely on each other when we are there, and not just brush by and go on with our lives. Whether we're the one that's suffering, brushing by other people, or someone seeing another person in distress and just continuing with our life. We can't let that happen. Patience is not an easy thing. The prophets endured so much, Some of them, like Jonah, did it okay. I mean, he gets his calling. He runs. God catches him. He gets vomited up by a fish. He goes to everybody's favorite place to vacation, Nineveh, and they repent. And then he goes and sits up on a hill and asks God to destroy them because they don't deserve to repent. I'd imagine there are probably some people who might look down on my life, who know me from before I was a Christian, and might think the same thing about me. But the truth is that just like the people of Nineveh, we all deserve. No, we all don't deserve. We all have the ability to be forgiven by God because of his love. And so what people around us deserve is for us to extend the gospel to them. That should be something that we want to do. There's opportunities, if you didn't hear about it a little bit earlier, there's opportunities for us to do that in the next couple of weeks. So, what's the point of all this? The point of all this is that we need to work as a family. The point of this is that we need to know that there are things that are hard. There are things that we, as individuals, cannot get through on our own. It's just simply not possible. So we need to acknowledge that. And we need to be willing to carry those things if that's what God wants us to do. And we need to, as brothers and sisters, look around and see those who are needing help with the load that they have. It's not quick, and it's not easy. But we need to be patient in our lives. We need to be patient with ourselves and with others. And we need to remember that when we endure, when we go through the difficulties that we have in life, it's pleasing to God. It's pleasing because it should draw us closer to Him. And that is what's pleasing for Him. That we lean into Him. That we ask for His strength. That we ask for His guidance, His wisdom. That we ask that He is seen through our victories. And that we can look at our victories and not claim them for ourselves, but give them as an offering to God. We're going to talk more in the coming weeks about how to suffer, how to accept things that are difficult, and how to be more encouraging to each other as we do this. James is an inspiration for each of us. It should be. And I hope that we can be an inspiration for each other as well. I encourage you to look around right now and see the people in this auditorium, and to realize that everybody that is here is a part of a family. Everybody that is here has an invitation to be at a table in a home where there is love and there is healing. If you're a part of that family and you're hurting right now, and you need prayers, I want to know that. I want to come alongside of you and pray with you. If you aren't part of the family yet, if you aren't part of Southside or another congregation, another family somewhere, consider becoming a part of God's family. If you don't know what that looks like, if you don't know what that means, come and find me, find Ken, find just about anybody in here and talk with us. We want you to know this. My greatest desire is to see, even if it is 15 years later, my greatest desire is to see people that have been in my life come to know Christ. And so if you don't know him right now, my greatest desire is for you to know him. If you have a need, if you are searching and hurting, if you are part of this body and you need prayers, please come forward and let me know. Let us as a congregation know as we now stand together and sing the song that's prepared.